Yes, it's truly been an honour to be here with you folks, and certainly enjoyed the time with the kids in school the last few weeks. And I've certainly tried to hammer home the truth of God's Word and the importance of God's Word. Enjoyed the time with the preachers here on the Thursday nights that I've been able to talk to them, and thankful for their input and their questions. Trust that we've been able to be a help to them as well. This morning I'd like to bring a message called Holding Fast. You'll find the verse was in the bulletin this morning. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1, if you turn with me please. Hebrews chapter 2, looking down to verse 1 this morning. One thing we've tried to emphasise with the children in the high school and the primary school is how important God's word is, and how true it is, and how accurate it is, and how precise it is. And so as we look here in Hebrews chapter 2 this morning, Brother Les has prayed, so let's go straight into Hebrews 2 and verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. We ought to give the more earnest heed. We ought to pay greater attention to what we hear from the Word of God than ever before. Because as time goes on, you'll find the Word of God becomes more important to us because we're seeing so much happening around us. We ought to give the more earnest heed. That means really pay attention, really give ear, and really listen and take it in to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. That's an interesting phrase. It's like sitting in a boat and you see a leak in that boat and you just watch it, and the water just keeps seeping in, and while you're watching it seeps in, the boat fills up and sinks. And that's the way it is with the Word of God. People just watching the boat sink instead of just plugging the hole, and it's the same as watching the sand drip through the hourglass. This is what this is illustrated here. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. If you don't plug the hole, it's going to keep running out. And so we need to make sure we plug the hole and make sure we listen to the Word of God, pay specific heed to what the Word of God is saying, and take it in. And go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, please. So we ought to give the more earnest heed. That means really pay attention. That means don't just sit there and look, but listen and take it in, because it's for your benefit and for my benefit, because it is something to help you grow and help you to be victorious. So, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, if you'll turn there, please. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. If you look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21, it says, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21, it says, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. The word prove all things here is like put it to the acid test. Put it through a rigorous test and make sure it's going to pass the test. And the test for us is to test it by the Word of God to make sure that it is good. That means it's morally sound, to make sure it's really true and morally upright. So prove all things. Put them to the test. And for us, the acid test is to prove it according to what God says in His Word, which is found elsewhere, Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, Philippians 4:8. If you just turn to Philippians 4:8 a moment, it tells us what things to think on. And if you think of what the world thinks about these days, and look what the Scripture says for us to think on, you'll find what we are taught and told to think on is quite different to what the world is pushing today. Philippians chapter 4, look down into verse 8 with me. It says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. You look at our world today and you can draw a contrast to what we're looking at here. You find so sadly the opposite is happening in our world today, and people are thinking on the opposite of what we are reading here. So we as believers need to set our mind on verse 8 here and think like this, because if we don't, we'll get drowned in the stuff that the world is drowning in today. So prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. We have to learn to reject stuff that's wrong. And we do that by, says here in Philippians 4:8, thinking on these sorts of things. So therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. So then, of course, 2 Thessalonians, while you're close by there, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 15. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you've been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now, this is not the traditions of men. You remember when the Lord Jesus walked this earth, he told the people there that the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the lawyers, the Herodians, they had put more importance on the traditions of men than on the authority of Scripture. And so as we look at this verse here, we ought to stand fast and hold the traditions which we have been taught. Now, notice that it's on the Word of God, by word or our epistle. So we ought to certainly pay heed to what we've heard from the Word of God, the teachings that we have learned, and not compromise them, not make concessions on them, but continue to stand upon those. It says, stand fast. This phrase is used throughout the New Testament epistles. Maybe I'll preach on that tonight about standing fast. But we really do need to be a people that will stand fast, and we're not going to be thrown about by every wind of doctrine, but we're going to stand firm on the things that we've heard and learned from the Word of God. It's an interesting term here. Hold the traditions. This is like the biblical teachings. It's also a structured, systematic learning. That's what we have when we study theology. It's like studying a system of teachings. Not all over the place, but stuff that fits together. And it's not just some sort of a scattering of stuff. It's built like on a foundation, brick upon brick upon brick, higher and higher, and that's the way it is. The Bible tells us we build on a foundation. That foundation is Christ. We build on the foundation of God's Word. And upon that we build a structure of beliefs. Not just anything, anywhere, anytime. You go out to talk to some people witnessing, say, you tell them about the Lord, and they say, I'm already a Christian. I say, so how are you a Christian? And they say, what do you mean by that? I say, well, what do you believe? I say, they say, I believe what my church believes. And so, what does your church believe? Well, they believe what I believe. So, what do you both believe? We both believe the same. Said, so, you know, that's not an answer. So, you know, we need to know what we believe. So we teach and we preach on a structure. We teach on doctrine. Doctrinal structures, that there's God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, inspiration. We talk about salvation, justification, sanctification. All of these are doctrines of the Bible, and we have a structure to them because brick by brick, they are built upon the foundation of God's Word. So stand fast and hold the traditions that we have been taught, whether by word or by our epistle. Not the traditions of men, not the teachings of men, but the teachings of God's Word. Skip over to Colossians chapter 2 a moment, if you would please. There's a warning given by Paul here to the church at Colossae. It's a great warning. And the key word here is the word beware. It's something that you would shout out if you saw someone going to get hit by a car or you saw a flame erupt and someone was going to walk right into that flame, you would shout out as loud as you could to prevent them from getting hurt, run over or burnt. That's that word beware. It's to shout it out as loud as you can. Paul is saying beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy. This word spoil here is to capture and make a slave of. You remember in the Old Testament they'd go in, they'd conquer a city, they'd go in, they would spoil that city. They'd take the spoils of war. Well, Paul is saying here beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy. You may be enslaved and you may be spoiled. They'll take everything that's good and belongs to you and they'll spoil you. How? Through philosophy. We live in a wicked world that's full of all sorts of weird philosophies today. This is the only philosophy you can really trust, the biblical philosophy. And vain deceit. We have a lot of vain deceit going on in our world today. Just look at the advertising of our world today and you see a lot of vain deceit in that stuff. And I won't say too much about too many things, I might offend somebody, but when you get down to the vain deceit of our world, Paul warns about that, and then he says, after the tradition of men. Don't follow the traditions of men. They'll take you every direction. They'll take you down rabbit holes. They just want to keep you away from the truth because people don't want the truth. It says, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world. That's worldliness and not after Christ. I mean, some of you fellas that are preaching, That's a great message for you to build out of that eighth verse alone. There's a structure there, and the subjects there, and a topic there, and an outline there. Go ahead and make that and preach it, because it is a great, great outline, and you can build upon every one of those things to show how that we're living in a world that's out there to try and captivate you, to spoil you, to rob you, and to enslave you, and to just baffle you, and just totally conquer you. But if you walk according to God's word and give the more earnest heed to the things which we've learned, then you say, hang on a minute, that won't happen to me by God's grace. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 13. No, 1:13, sorry. 2 Timothy 1:13. It says, hold fast the form of sound words. So there's just some things we've got to hang on to. Something we've got to cling on to, put a tight fist around, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Hold fast the form of sound words. This is an interesting hold fast the form of sound words. It's like the words that have been concreted in with reinforcement and you can't get them out of that concrete. It's so solid in there. But have a look at our world today. They're trying to redefine words. Words that were good to use 100 years ago, they've got different dictionaries now. They've taken these words out of their dictionary, or they've redefined them and put them back in as something else. Look at the words that have been perverted in our society today. But what did Paul say here? He said, hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ. These are a concreted pattern when it says hold the form of sound words. It's like a concreted pattern that cannot be unlocked, it cannot be broken up. It's just that solid foundation and it's just stuck there and you've got to put up with it. All right, and you can't break it apart to change it. That's what sound words are. And it's a healthy words, it's sound words, it's safe words. But then again, our society has tried to dismantle words of authority and words of safety, and they've changed and perverted and done all sorts of things to our language. But the Bible says, hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ. While you're in 2 Timothy, look at chapter 3. Remember, the world that we're living in doesn't like this book. It doesn't like what we stand for. And down through the decades, little bit by little bit, our politicians and our lawmakers have tried to dismantle what the Word of God teaches in truth and tried to put some different meaning to words that we find in the Word of God, that we find in our law books, and they've redefined them to mean something else. In other words, they've taken that which is evil and made it good. They've taken that which is good and made it sound bad. And so it's where they perverted the course of justice by doing so. 2 Timothy chapter 3, down in verse 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Paul said, you need to stick by the stuff. Stay by the things that you have learned. Don't let them go. Cling on to them. Give them more earnest heed. Stand fast and hold those biblical traditions and don't make concessions. That's what the world does. He also says, from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures that are able to make thee wise unto salvation. So why all this? Why do we have all these warnings in the scriptures like this? I'll tell you why. Because Paul also wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3, he said, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Those two words go together, sound and doctrine. And it's something that the world doesn't like, and sadly, it's something that modern Christianity doesn't like. Sound doctrine gets you the place where you're sort of locked in the corner. That's what we believe. We're not going to make concessions. We're not going to compromise, and we're just going to go by that. Well, that's the way it is. That's the way it should be. Because once you start dismantling and changing things, it just ruins it, and it certainly corrupts it. And so that's why we're a people that stand by the stuff, and we will not compromise. 2 Timothy 4:3 says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And then verse 4 says, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. They don't like the truth, they turn away from the truth, and they make concessions on the truth, and that's where we are living today. They don't like sound doctrine. They want something that's pretty wishy-washy, something that makes a lot of concessions, something that makes a lot of compromises. And a long time ago, I had a preacher that used to send me all these letters trying to get me involved in all these interfaith things that they used to have and get involved with all these different church groups and so forth and so on, get involved in all their activities. And I finally called him up. I said, look, brother, I need to meet with you. And I said, I need to just explain some things to you. He was from the Baptist Union, and at that time he was the head of the Interfaith Council and the Interchurch Fellowships, and he was working with just about every group in Mackay at that time. And I called him up. I said, look, brother, how about we have breakfast together at McDonald's and I'll explain some things why I don't come along to your meetings. So we met together and had breakfast, and I said, look, the Bible says, how can two walk together except they be agreed? He said, yes, I understand that. I said, well, you know, there are some people that you walk with that I couldn't walk with because I don't agree with them. He said, well, don't worry about that. There's a few I don't agree with either. I said, well, why would you be walking with them? And so he said, yeah, well, I guess you're right. But, you know, this is the point. I said to him, look, I said, there's a lot of things where there's the violation of Scripture, violation of doctrine. There are things that we would just totally disagree with some of these groups. And he said, yeah, well, he said, there are a lot that I do that. He said, I do disagree with so many, but we have to work with them. I said, no, we don't have to work with them. I said, we can take our stand and stand upon these things. I said, if I started to do what you're doing, I would lose my identity. So that's true. I said, so I'd rather keep my identity and have people badmouth me for doing that than to, you know, fit in with everybody else and be loved by everybody and not even stand for what's right and true and overlook everybody else's error. He said, you know, I wish I'd have stayed like you. He said, I used to be like you. And so this is what I'm talking about. Stay by the stuff. Stick by the things which you've learned. Don't compromise and make concessions and throw in the towel and just go with the flow. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. We're there right now. And they'll heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. I think I told you about the church in Ipswich. Did I tell you about the church in Ipswich that was growing in leaps and bounds? Well, they got the pastor got interviewed by the local paper up there in Ipswich a few years ago. I know the young fella, and he's not a Baptist, but they said to him, how come your church is growing in leaps and bounds and all the other churches seem to be just withering away? Based on this here, he said, after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. He said, well, I scratch where they itch. He said, that's why we're growing in leaps and bounds. I scratch where they itch. If you can't work that out, come and see me after and I'll explain it to you. All right, go to Acts chapter 20, if you would please. Acts chapter 20. So, yeah, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we've... don't pay attention to that, you know, don't listen to him. You know, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we shall let them slip. We can see churches all over our nation here that have let things slip. A little bit here, a little bit there. Before long, they're gone. You know, I've seen churches shut down and sold that have been there 50 years and gone now because they let things slip. Things diminished away and then there was nothing. So here in Acts chapter 20, Paul warned the church at Ephesus for the Ephesian elders. He was ready to depart after being there 3 years, and he called the elders together and he warned them. He said in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, take heed therefore unto yourselves. In other words, guard yourself, watch yourself, and be sure you take care of yourselves, because he says, and to all the flock. Take care of yourself, take care of your flock, take care of the sheep, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God. Well, what do you feed them with? The word of God. You don't feed them with entertainment. You don't feed them with all the garbage that so many of the churches are feeding their people with now, but you feed them with the word of God, the milk of the word, the meat of the word. And he says, to feed the church of God which he has purchased with his own blood. For this I know, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Now, I shared that with the kids here this week in the chapel service. They will come in among you, grievous wolves, enter in among the flock. Wolves and sheep don't get along together, okay? Wolves just love to kill sheep and destroy sheep, and so do dingoes. You know we've got dingoes, You know the dingo is described in the Bible? You know, a preacher that doesn't tell the truth is a dingo. How do you know that? Isaiah, God says they are dumb dogs that cannot bark. Doesn't say a dingo, but a dumb dog that cannot bark. A dingo doesn't bark. Dingoes don't like sheep either. Sheep and dingoes don't get along together. I grew up here in the New England district raising sheep. I was given a merino sheep, a lamb like this by Eno Donnelly. He gave it to our family. We raised a merino ram from a lamb. Somebody stole it, but we got it back. Anyway, it's another story. So take heed, therefore, unto yourselves, he said, unto the flock of God. Feed the flock of God, you know. Feed them with the word of God, with the meat, with the milk. He says, for I know this, verse 29, that after my departing, he didn't say this may happen. This is perhaps something that could come about. He didn't say that. He said, for I know this, verse 29, after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. He said, also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. That was the first century. We're in the 21st century now. A lot's happened in 2,000 years, and men have become more and more wicked, more and more perverse, and you wouldn't believe the stuff that's coming out of universities and going into theological seminaries, and yeah, they're turning out people that are just plain wolves, and they're out there to destroy the people of God. Look over in Titus chapter 1, please. Titus 1, verse 9. I don't know whether we'll get through all the scripture today. Titus chapter 1. Let's look down here, please. Titus 1 and verse 9. So, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we've heard. We ought to prove all things and hold fast that which is good. And we need to stand fast and hold the biblical traditions that we have learned. Titus chapter 1 and verse 9 says, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Holding fast, that means get a good grip on it and don't let it go. Okay, hang on for dear life. And that's what we ought to do when it comes to this blessed book here and the doctrines of God's word. Hey, don't make concessions. Don't give in. I told the young fellas when I was talking to them, the preachers, I said, you know what? There's a few questions I don't like. And what do you think of? What's wrong with? And questions like that. They're loaded questions and you know what's coming. So the people that ask those questions, they, So you've got to be really careful the answers that you give. They ought to be biblically based answers. So hold fast the word that we've been taught. So we'd be able to, by sound doctrine, to convince the gainsayers. Well, I'll tell you what, chatting with people philosophically is not going to answer the scripture, answer the questions. But if we give them biblical answers, you know, they're arguing with God. And I'd rather just use God's word when it comes to arguments. People will argue with you. I say, well, listen, friend, this is what God says. This is where I stand. And that's the end of it as far as I'm concerned. There's no need for further discussion or concession making or anything. Anything else is just a violation of scripture. And that's where I've stood for 48 years. And Lord willing, I will continue to stand there as God enables me to do so. Titus 1 and verse 13. Titus 1 and verse 13. So stand fast, hold fast. Yeah, the Bible is very clear on all of this for us. So as time goes on, you will find the world will attack us more and more. It will try and paint us more and more into a corner. It will try and get us to give in. But we should never throw in the towel. Look at Titus chapter 1, verse 13. It says, this witness is true. Wherefore rebuke them sharply that they may be, watch this, sound in the faith. This is the same word as, sound doctrine. Sound in the faith. Very stable, very moral, very, like you concrete it in there, nothing can move you. Okay? That's the way we ought to be. Sound in the faith. And it says down here, that they were to take the Cretans, it says their own people, said they're slow bellies and evil beasts and slow bellies and liars. And it says, this witness is true, wherefore rebuke them sharply. Tell them that they're liars. Tell them that they're slow bellies. Wow. And not only that they may be sound in the faith. You know, there's a lot of things in culture that we don't approve of. And it's like missionaries go to the foreign field and they go to various places around the world and they're confronted with things that are just ungodly, perverted, deviant and contrary to God's word. And missionaries have to go in there and say, well, you know, that's wrong. Missionaries have had strife all over our world for several hundred years now because they go in, they confront things that are just plain wrong. Brother Manley, the guy that discipled me, was in the West End of New Guinea, and he said he's amongst the cannibals up there, the headhunters, and listen, men with men openly, and it was just unashamedly. And he went in there, he said, this is wrong. God is against this. You cannot do this. And yeah, so that's what missionaries have got to do. When you go to the mission field, you will be confronted with things that you'll have to say, well, you know, the Bible says that's wrong and that's wrong. You can't do this. You're going to have to separate from that. And they say, oh, well, you're just trying to destroy their culture. No, you're not. There was a big fuss on here in Australia just last year. There was some people out there preaching in the outback and some Aboriginal people were getting saved. They were getting born again and they were actually burning some of their cultural stuff and getting rid of it. And the ABC radio got hold of it. Did anybody hear about that? Yeah. They didn't like it. They said, oh, these people are going in there preaching the Bible and people are getting converted and these people are getting rid of some of their cultural stuff. And so one of the old Aboriginal elders was asked, well, why are they doing that? He said, because this stuff is just demonic and satanic. But the ABC's in there saying, ah, why would missionaries go in there? Brother Manley said the same thing. When he went back to America back in the 1950s and 60s, some of the intellectuals from the colleges and universities, he spoke in colleges and universities, they come and says, well, I don't know why you missionaries go in there and try and destroy their culture. Why don't you just leave them alone? Because they're dying and going to hell, that's why. So that's where we stand. Okay, this witness is true, as told in Titus, wherefore rebuke them sharply. Titus 2 verse 1. Titus 2 and verse 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. See, things that become sound doctrine, you build upon a foundation and you build upon the foundation of God's word to build the structure of those doctrines so people understand what it's all about. I've heard preachers preach, Brother Les, that really don't know what they believe. I mean, sometimes they're Calvinist, sometimes they're Arminian. Here's the danger, you fellas. Don't get your messages from books. Get it from the book. Because one day you'll stand up and you'll preach a message from the pulpit and the people will get it. And then the next week you'll stand up and preach a message you got from some other book and it'll be contradictory to what you read or preached the week before. Now, I've sat in churches where I've heard a preacher do that and thought, whoa, hang on a minute. He's not studying his Bible. He's reading somebody else's sermon books. He's reading somebody that's an Arminian and somebody that's a Calvinist. And getting two different, opposite messages. So stick with the Word of God. Begin to read the Word of God and build sound doctrine. Hebrews 3 and verse 6, Hebrews 3, 6. And incidentally, we're going to be using Hebrews for devotions down there for the missions trip, Brother Les. Is that okay with you? Okay. All right, so Hebrews 3, 6. But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. We are his house, therefore we need to hang on to that which is right with confidence. Hebrews 4:14. Hebrews 4:14, seeing then we have a great high priest, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, that is passed into heaven, into the heavens. Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. This word, hold fast our profession, is to seize it, to retain it, and to get a grip on it, and don't let it slip out of our hands. Hold fast our profession. This word is the same word as confession. It's the same word that's used of the Lord Jesus when he stood before Pontius Pilate in 1 Timothy 6:13. before Pontius Pilate, he confessed a good confession. He made a good profession before Pontius Pilate. And you remember Jesus standing before Pontius Pilate? He didn't say, well, you know, maybe I got this wrong. He didn't say that. So, well, maybe I need to go back and redo this, and maybe I've upset too many people. No, he didn't say that either. He witnessed a good... And as you know, Pilate said, don't you know I have the power to crucify you and set you free? Or set you free? He said, you don't have any power but what my Father in heaven allows you to have. That put the fear of God in Pontius Pilate, I reckon. So yes, we ought to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. He witnessed a great profession, and we ought to be like him. No better person to be like. Hebrews 10:23. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Hebrews 10, verse 23. Says, let us hold fast our profession, or the profession of our faith, without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith. Cling on to the profession of your faith. A confession of faith. And don't make compromises on it. Don't make concessions. I say, this is where I stand. And I'll die believing in what the Word of God teaches. No matter what it costs me. And it will cost you something to take your stand and make your stand. Don't worry. It will. Many people have paid the price because of their stand. You've only got to read Fox's Book of Martyrs. There were people there that tried to, they were tried and they were almost forced to give up their faith, but they said, I would rather die than denounce Jesus Christ. And even in our world today, there are people today that are dying that are born again believers in countries today. They will not denounce Christianity or the Word of God to save their own life. Muslim countries and various other countries, that is happening today. Some places in Korea, North Korea, and I'm told even so in China, but I don't know too much about China with great authority. So the Bible tells us to hold on, keep clinging on, get a good grip of it, hold fast our profession. That is used in Hebrews 4:14. It's also in Hebrews 10:23. And you know, the Bible says in the last days, look at Jesus said in Revelation 2:25, bring it down to an end. Revelation 2:25. What did Jesus say here? He's talking to the seven churches of Asia, and he says to every one of those churches, I know thy works. Look what he says here in Revelation chapter 2, verse 25. And this is something we can learn from here. Revelation 2:25. But that which thou hast already, hold fast till I come. Don't give up anything. Don't make any concessions. That which thou hast, hold fast till I come. He also said in Revelation 3:3, remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast. That's in Revelation 3:3. Lastly, Revelation 3:11, and we're done. So let's hold fast our profession. Let's hold fast without wavering. And so... Revelation chapter 3 and verse 11, the Lord Jesus made this statement, behold, I come quickly, hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. You know, when I stand before the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ, I want to receive a full reward, don't you? Maybe I won't get anything at all, but I don't want to get to the place where I'm going to be ashamed before him at his coming. I want to be able to say, well, Lord, I tried to stand for you. I tried not to make concessions or compromise, and I'm looking for the day that the Lord would say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Maybe he won't, but I trust he will. Let's pray. Father, help us today as we look to you for strength and guidance. We live in a world that is perverse and wicked, Lord, and undone, and a world that certainly hasn't got the answers, a world that doesn't want to know the truth or the facts or the evidence, but it just goes its own way, making its own stories up, making up its own philosophy. And we ask, Lord, you'd help us to remain true to the Word of God, to stand fast, and ask, Lord, you'd speak to hearts in these closing moments as we turn this service back over to Brother Les and the folks that are leading the singing. Have your will and way in each heart and life, but help us, Lord, to stand in these last days, and having done all to stand, in Jesus' name, amen.